This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we plow along in Proverbs 9 and 10, covering Wisdom's House, Lady Folly, Memory of the Righteous, Love Covers All Offenses, and The Path to Life. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Oh, Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth shall declare your praise. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from 2 Timothy chapter 2. Remind them of these things, and charge them before God not to quarrel about words, which does no good, but only ruins the hearers. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. But avoid irreverent babble, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness, and their talk will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have swerved from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already happened. They are upsetting the faith of some. But God's firm foundation stands, bearing this seal: the Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. Now in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honorable use, some for dishonorable. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies. You know that they breed quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
Remind them of these things. I'm at the point in my life where I've learned that if I don't create a reminder in my iPhone, there's a really good chance that I'm going to forget what you just asked me to do. And then I set the reminders to pop up hourly because I forget them repeatedly. And when I get frustrated with the constant reminders, I simply ignore them. Problem solved. Remind them. This should come naturally to me and my vocation. After all, isn't that precisely what historians do? We are here to remind people of what has gone before, what has happened in the past. And we hope that as we remind people of the good things recalled, or, if necessary, what needs to be restored, they will be put into place. If not, we use our reminders as cautions to people not to repeat the errors and failures of the past. We've all heard it. Those who don't remember the past are condemned to repeat it. And yet, we all know that those errors are repeated over and over and over again. Even here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul tells us about problems in the early church, false teachings regarding something as fundamental as the resurrection of Jesus. In the first century church, do we really think it will be better in the 21st century church? It started then, it is present now, it will continue. The truth is, we tend to pine for a past that never was, even as we hope for a better future. The problem is that better future will not be fully realized, at least until the coming of our Lord. There is a reason we call it the church militant. If we forget that, we have forgotten the center. For that, my friends, is the reality, the tension that we are called into as servants of Christ, whether as pastor or deaconess or teacher or staff person or lay person or father or mother or child. In all our specific vocations, we are called to serve in the name of Christ and as he served. And that service is fraught with tension and difficulty. You want proof? Read 2 Timothy chapter 2. Paul is speaking to all of us here, even as he speaks specifically to a pastor. He reminds Pastor Timothy of several things. First off, he does not point him back to a golden age that is now past and needs recapturing. Rather, in chapter 1, he recaps where Timothy has come from. Paul himself, his words, is reminded of Timothy's sincere faith, a faith, as he puts it, that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. Paul reminds Timothy to fan into flame that faith. And he reminds us of the same. Simply put, we are called to remember our own weaknesses, even as we are reminded of God's faithfulness. And we are called to remind the people of God as they struggle in weakness and failing. And that's where the test comes in. The easiest way to handle this is to point to the failings of others in order to build up ourselves. But Paul doesn't let us get away with that. That only leads to conflict. And so, to fellow Pastor Timothy, he says, charge them. Charge them before God not to quarrel about words, which does no good, but only ruins hearers. A running joke that perhaps has more truth in it than I'm comfortable with says that you shouldn't let young people go to a synod convention lest they lose their faith. It's as true of older people as it is of the younger folks. Jokes aside, Paul's words are deadly serious enough for us to try and find a detour around them, but he won't let us. He says to each of us, personally, individually, do your best to present yourself to one as God, to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. But avoid irreverent babble, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness, and their talk will spread like gangrene. Such useless arguing cuts us off from the life-giving word and results in gangrene, the localized death and decomposition of the body, which will continue to spread if not addressed. To put it a little differently, our words can be faith killers. Now, this is not to minimize the errors that surround us. Change and decay all around I see. But Paul's point is that we Christians, and particularly we pastors, can not only nurture faith by our words, fan it into flame, we also have the ability to kill it dead. Among such in Paul's time were Hymenaeus and Philetus, who had swerved from the truth, saying that the resurrection had already appeared. They are upsetting the faith of some. Yeah, but that's them, that's not me, and it can't be me because I'm right. Right? Wrong. It's you, and it's me, and it's all of us. Hymenaeus gets named twice in the Bible, and both times as a faith killer. Can you imagine that as your legacy? Instead, Paul's Timothy and you and me to a better way. So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Have nothing to do with foolish and ignorant controversies. You know that they breed quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. Fan these things into flame. Nurture that faith. Handle well the word of truth. And what is that? Paul puts it this way to Pastor Titus, reminding him of who he is and reminding us of who we are. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior had appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Remind them of these things. Remind sinful, forgetful people that the gospel is God's proper work. Remind the forgetful people that the legacy is God's, not ours. We are simply called to be faithful stewards, like Lois and Eunice. As usual, I've used far more words than necessary to make my point. Sometimes it's better just to stick with God's word. When Paul said, remind them of these things, he was specifically pointing Timothy back to words he had written immediately prior to this morning's text, 2 Timothy 2, 11 to 13. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy. For if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. For he cannot deny himself. Remind them of these things. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
In our prayers, we remember Henry Madder as he undergoes open heart surgery.
Let us pray. O Lord, almighty and everlasting God, you have commanded us to pray and have promised to hear us. Mercifully grant that your Holy Spirit may direct and govern our hearts in all things, that we may persevere with steadfast faith in the confession of your name. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Lord Jesus Christ, in your ministry you healed many with frail and diseased bodies. Be present with Henry as he undergoes surgery. Bless him with faith in your loving kindness and protection. Endow the surgeons and the medical team with skill and alertness, so that this surgery may help your servants to a speedy restoration of health and strength, according to your gracious will. Hear us for your name's sake as you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Taught by our Lord and trusting his promises, we are bold to pray.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord Almighty bless us and direct our days and our deeds in his peace.
Amen.